directly to your ears, Graham Harper.
Courtesy of Southside.
Ah, yes, after Nicola Clancy, Jane Clarke, and of course, Alan Stevens. We move ever so gracefully into the creme de la creme of television directors, the award-winning person that is Graham Harper, the star person, actually. It's confirmed last night in the discussion I was having with Martin and the team from Hooray in Silver Street in Stockton, and obviously Dean Wilkinson, and he is the unmitigated star person. He is the fulcrum on which the entire event will hinge in June and July.
Oh, I feel sorry for them all.
He's here with us. Graham, how are you, and how's Coronation Street?
I'm absolutely fine. On Monday, I start shooting another block of Coronation Street, which I'm finding really interesting. It's really a good, it's a good experience.
Well, they love you, Graham, and if you want to have proof of that, all you need to do is to go onto the southsidebroadcasting.com website, go onto new podcasts, pull up the interviews we did with Beverly Callard and Debbie Rush. And I mean, Debbie, I mean, she's already won over by the fact that I told her about your purchase of Little Nemo, the photograph of Nemo the donkey. And that's it. I mean, you know, you just have to listen to it. I mean, have you listened to those Coronation Street interviews? I mean, it's fair to say both Beverly and Debbie, they were big Graham Harper fans.
Oh, yeah. That's
smashing. I mean, I just thought I was doing a piece to promote their fitness DVDs. I happened to mention Graham Harper. Woof, bang, there it goes. Didn't have a chance to move it on from any of that at all, really. But
I bet it's not like that on Monday.
Well, I mean, we'll be monitoring, because they both said, and it's on there, that they said they'd kind of mention, and they'd say pass on best wishes, because I did mention that we'd worked for huge numbers of years together. So I just thought, well, we'll just wait and see. We'll just check this one out, basically, and see whether they were just, it was just flannel, you know. Anyway, great stuff on that one. And
oh, that's smashing. Thank you.
Of course, when last we worked together, we were in the height of donkey scenarios, and as again, a wonderful line that was phrased about one of our Facebook shots of yourself and Bernadette, and indeed Fiona Hardingham, who's now just about to head back to Los Angeles, about the whole donkey event that we had for the Donkey Sanctuary. He would, if he'd been there, have actually captioned the photograph, Graham Harper kisses ass. I thought, Dean, please, yeah. You know,
just yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there. It's good.
I know. It was great stuff. And funny enough, Carolyn Trefivian has been in touch to say, could she possibly have a contact detail for yourself, because she'd like to talk to you about getting more exposure for these donkeys that work in Palestine, etc. I said, yeah, so if it's okay, I'll pass on details to
you,
Carolyn.
Absolutely.
That's okay then.
Yeah.
Okay, in the studio, just in case you haven't been paying attention, that's not yourself, Graham, it's the listener, because sometimes I just, well, they phase out. I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, hello, well, hello. Yes, it's all right. It's not a voice that's coming to you, but it is after fashion, but you're listening to Southside Broadcasting and Saturday link-up show in association with Pharma Nor Nutritional Supplements with Aaron Craig, with Joe Hudson, and this week, Hannah Terry. Hannah, who has revealed that she's quite a fan of TV drama, but particularly Waterloo Road. When we mentioned Coronation Street and Doctor Who, afraid, I don't know. Just,
it doesn't come anywhere near it, does it?
So, Hannah, why not Doctor Who then?
I've never actually sat down and watched it properly.
Poor soul. This is the reason, Hannah, why your school was under threat of closure for such a long time. I'm sorry, I just, you know, if only they'd got you watching Doctor Who on a regular basis, you wouldn't have had to worry about changing government. Anyway, it's all right now. Well done, St. Peter's. Brought the world with Mannion and Hannah Terry. That's got to be good for something. Well, it's true. Graham Harper went to Italia Conti's, which is a very famous stage school in London, which then he moved on from all that manner of things. He lost his Scottish accent and became a Cockney oik. And took that. It's all right. When the award ceremony comes up, I'll give it a better spin than that, Graham, because, you know, it's just a case of working through that. Anyway, Graham, would you like to have a brief chat with Hannah about what sort of things she's doing now? I mean, so far we've identified her interest in drumming, her fondness for the Hoosiers, her sort of keenness to either work in music journalism or indeed you know, something to do with music, and it's up to you. I mean, I don't know if you remember, actually, let me see, when we did our first show together, Graham, Hannah would have been minus 12, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. So, in fact, it was only Aaron who would have been alive in the studio. So, Graham, it's time for your good self to throw you. Because, I mean, you've done a lot of children's drama. You've done, obviously, the joys of See How They Run. Sarah Jane Adventures?
Yes.
No, she's shaking her head on that one as well. Over to yourself, Graham. Have a brief chat with Hannah about life, the universe, and what she should be doing to kind of make the best of work placements and so on.
Hannah, you're a person after my own heart because I absolutely love Waterloo Road.
Yes.
I think it's the most I went to an award ceremony two nights ago, and I met the producers who I knew very well from doing a series called Robin Hood two or three years before. And that I didn't know, but they've both been producing separate episodes, obviously, of Waterloo Road. So I begged them, please, please give me a job, because I would really love to work on that. I think it's a fabulous show. Right, enough of me. So you want to? You might want to come into this business.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? What were you thinking?
Just in general, with my life.
Oh, right.
Can get very deep if you want. I wasn't expecting it, but, you know.
The ultimate question.
Exactly. At 12:10 on a Saturday, great.
But music plays a big part in it.
Yeah.
What sort of music? What are you into? You rock and roll? Present-day kind of modern music?
Pop, indie.
Oh, smashing, okay. And what, do you want to be a journalist? You want to actually, and you want to present the stuff, or...?
I want to, either perform or go into, the journalism side of it.
When you did, so you play drums?
Yeah.
Car, because I learnt to play drums when I was a young person, probably the same age as you, and by a jazz drummer. I couldn't keep it up, and I absolutely envy people who can play drums and how they can keep that. How long have you been learning to play drums?
About 5 years.
Wow, do you play in a band?
No, I just play in in music, when I'm at school with a couple of my mates, that's about it.
What music do you like playing drums with too and with?
Anything really.
Do you like jazz?
Not really.
So anything really but jazz, right? Oh, that's, I would love, where can I come and see you play?
I'll tell you what, we'll get that sorted. Meanwhile, let's move on to
can I ask one more question?
Yes, go on.
Sorry, Alexis. Have you seen Hannah? Have you seen these I don't know what to call them, but they're very modern electronic drum kits?
Oh yeah, I've got one of them.
Is that where you play? Oh, what's it called? What make?
I'm not sure.
Oh right, okay. Oh, I had the chance to play a sitter set of those at Christmas. Oh, that was the best fun, because all the different kind of sounds and effects you can get. Is that what you've got?
Yeah, I've got one of them.
Oh, you lucky fan. Have you got a real drum kit, or have you got that?
No, I haven't.
You don't need it. You got that. You are such a lucky person. You have to describe to everybody exactly what it is and what it can do.
Well, it's just sort of, it's really ugly. Right? It's just sort of black with rubber pads on it, and yeah. It's not very nice to play one.
But what can you do with it? It's not just about playing drums. It has all sorts of other things, doesn't it?
Well, you can make bird sounds out of it and stuff as well.
Well, nothing too interesting. That's what the 21st century has been waiting for, clearly. Yes. Something which is black, doesn't look very nice, but makes bird songs. Tweet, tweet.
Alexis, I interrupted you, Gav.
Oh, is that it's that kind of thing that makes genius moments in broadcasting. Scripts the thing down. So well done. You've given presumably you won't be getting product endorsement for that one, Hannah, but great stuff. It's the enthusiasm that always impresses me. Since we spoke, Aaron, in fact, since you were last up in the Northeast, Graham, Aaron has not just moved to one restaurant, he's left two, actually.
You know, oh, God, you've just given up another one.
See, yeah. I know. We were just sorting out the next sort of routine, etc. That sort of way. So as we said, he's using the maxim, chef for hire, have wok, we'll travel. So, well,
So if you need any exactly. You need any chefs on the street.
Bit of catering, you know. And I do know from Deborah Rush that she does like the bacon butties. And in fact, we gathered that even though Deborah Rush specifically did the fitness DVD to actually offset the bacon butty in Coronation Street, so they actually barely through. When I suggested, well, why not Granada actually consider getting rid of the bacon butty, she said there'd be a riot.
Oh, I think she's absolutely right.
Not rid of the bacon butty on the street, it would have just gone completely on that basis. But still. Anyway, Aaron, anything else you'd like to share with us?
I'm right in saying, Graham, that you had an input on the sort of last story of Coronation Street with the tram and stuff.
I did the first three episodes of that week, which were the build-up to the tram crash and then the immediate aftermath of it.
So what's the feeling on the street and yourself at the National Television Awards when pipped at the post by EastEnders?
Unbelievable.
I have to be really honest. It's the only time I've ever felt it. I thought we were absolutely robbed. But that's not.
It's a public grab. Look, right? You know, it's the public. You said, well, hand it over to the public, and it's a disaster. You know, that's why Angela Rippon was voted off. You know, Dancing on Ice. Another one of our key folk, and Nadia Sawala, both got the chop.
I'll tell you something. This isn't sour grapes because we're not here. I mean, listen, it's great to get awards, and it's really fabulous to get an audience voted award because that's the truth. My problem with it was we went to the O2 Arena, which is a vast, massive, and I find it impressive as in size, but unimpressive really. I mean, so it's not for me. It's not the place to have awards, but that's it's a big event. I think they should set that award ceremony in Birmingham at the NEC so that all the fans from EastEnders can get there and all the fans from Coronation Street and Emmerdale and, what's the other one? Hollyoaks. They can all come from the north. So it's a meeting ground for the two factions. If you do it in London, in the heart of London, in a big venue like that, you're going to get all the people from the south coming to it. So you've got an immediate bias towards anything that's being done that's loved in the south. And I truly believe that. I think it should be in the centre and it would be much fairer. And the last thing, and I'll get off it, is to have this digital voting and this online voting or whatever in the middle of the programme is great, except that when you've got the situation I've just said, you've got thousands and thousands of people in that theatre pressing their, making their phone calls and voting, and they're all from the south. I find it very biased, and it was not, to me, it didn't feel fair.
Yeah.
But that's really sour grapes, and I'm going to carry on and enjoy my life, whatever happens, so there we are.
Did you manage to check out Cheryl Cole? Because apparently she was looking very small and tiny, and she looked very tiny when she actually went on stage. If you look tiny on television, then you must be minuscule in real life.
I did see her go. I wasn't very close to her, but I did see her in the distance. No, I mean, she's quite petite, yeah.
Perhaps it's the stress of the Piers Morgan interview. That's what did it. You know, it's the tears she shed on Piers Morgan. It's just too much for the whole thing. I presume you're not a Cheryl Cole fan. Don't mind her.
No, she's...
It's all right, yeah. And yeah, obviously, when I mentioned the Saturdays, she looked at me with daggers, kind of.
I find her rise to fame hugely meteoric with, I don't know, it's not...
It's curious, isn't it? Let's face it. It's just a little bit curious. I mean, obviously, you know, all credit to her, it's fine, but, you know, there are those of us who still say, well, Nicola was robbed. You know, that's the whole thing. Nicola Watkin. Still, life continues. Joe, anything you'd like to throw to Graham about life, the universe, and how the campaign starts here to get Graham the job on Waterloo Road? It happens. This is where it begins.
I think if you... Obviously, heaven forbid if you couldn't get the Waterloo.
It would be a disaster. The series would be canned. I mean, you know, it's all very well getting the lass from Prime Suspect to actually be the headmistress in there. It's Helen Mirren. She was Body of Evidence. Anyway, what did Amanda Burton, who has been criticised in the past for only having one expression, but then that didn't hinder Charles Bronson, did it? You know, and that's an interesting one. Amanda Burton is the 21st century Charles Bronson. Oh, bet her agent wasn't expecting that when I threw the thing down her. Anyway, Joe, questions for Graham.
If, like, heaven forbid, you couldn't get a job on Waterloo Road, which kind of TV show would you most like to work on?
I'd love to do Hustle.
Hustle, yeah.
I think Hustle's tongue-in-cheek, a lot of fun, and no harm done. Well, obviously the people in the programme, but no harm, you know, the victim, but no harm done in life. Absolutely delightful and exciting, interesting to
and
watch.
It's got Robert Vaughan in it, you know, X-Man from Uncle. Okay, I appreciate Rob Glenister when he was doing his first Dalit shows with us, and he was with Amanda. Oh, I've forgotten her name. Not Amanda Burton, another Amanda.
Redfern,
that's right. I didn't realise they had an abusive relationship. It was sad, but never mind. Okay, we've put that behind us. You know, we've moved on. We've both progressed from that sort of side of things. But it's a darn good series, and of course made by Kudos Television, who are well sorted through with that. And have you been watching Primeval, Graham?
No.
Nobody does these days. I mean,
I think it's. I shouldn't say.
It's got dinosaurs.
I think it's poor compared to the storylines.
Well, it's the same storyline, as long as
you
accept.
No, I don't like the storylines. I think the effects are brilliant, and the storylines, I just find the stories, and well, not the stories, but I'm not very keen on the way it's developed. I think you can't just make something that just looks, it's just got all these great effects. You need something a bit more than that. You need a good story and good performances.
Although I will say that Ruth Kearney is a good addition to the series. And, yeah, what's not to like?
Well, to be honest, you say I can't judge the because I haven't watched it.
You're too busy. Too busy planning for Coronation Street. That's the important thing.
Yes. Well, no, I don't want to. I'm not keen on that, I'm afraid.
That's still sorted through on that.
But there are millions of us who are.
Great. Graham Harper will be back up in Teesside, touch wood, fingers crossed, everything else, for June the 18th and July the 2nd. That's June the 18th, July the 2nd. Yep. Firstly, right at the height of the Middlesbrough Book Festival, when we're looking to put you together with Shane Rimmer.
Excellent, I remember Shane.
Yeah, that's good. Well, that's also true, because he has produced what, to me, is the successor to my book of the year for 2010. That, of course, Michelle Monroe's fantastic biography of her father, the singer's singer, and it comes out in paperback in September, the audio version coming up as well. But Shane has just gone a step beyond that with his classic biography, which he's written at the age of 83. Yeah, I know. It was religiously inspired as well, from a divine perspective. From Thunderbirds to Pterodactyls. Yes. That's a great scenario, and actually it is. It's a wonderful encapsulation of working from everybody from Stanley Kubrick right the way through to Omar Sharif and Gerry Anderson, obviously, and a whole stack of other things as well from that point of view. So good use there. So it'll be a sort of two-hander, plus more exciting things on what will be a sci-fi themed day for the festival. So that's the idea. Plus, of course, July the 2nd, when we'll be in Stockton somewhere. It could be the Ark, it could be Georgian Theatre, it could be the middle of the High Street, I don't know. But in theory, we'll be doing some magical things there. We did suggest that it may be possible, Graham, given that we're looking for a bit of interactivity on this event, for you to maybe do a bit of directing as well. If Dean writes some material, you might direct a couple of people and do some directing bits and pieces.
I'd be very, very happy to do that. That'd be fun.
There we are. It's genius. Right then, Aaron. Given, I know Aaron was devastated when you spoke early on the phone to yourself, Graham, and he came off the phone and he said, well, I asked Aaron, did he remember you? No, he said. No, in his no. I said, I'm sure you remember. It's just, you need to say, I was the person who cooked for you. Anyway, Aaron, would you like to ask Graham those last two questions?
Could I just ask him one quick question?
Of course.
Graham, I was just thinking there, you know, have you ever been asked to direct something and you thought, no, I don't want to do it, and then it turned out to be absolutely massive?
Well, it was only the Spielberg Close Encounters of the Third Kind one that he was offered, I think. I think Star Wars passed in 1977, but there we are.
No, I remember being sent. I'm not going to say who it was, but somebody sent me a comedy script by a very famous person who'd written it and was also going to appear in it, and they wanted me to direct it, which I was very flattered about, especially when you. I'm going to keep you guessing when you know. Well, if you knew who it was going to be, but I read it and I thought it was awful. Anyway, so I turned it down. It came out, and guess what? It was awful, and it disappeared. And I'm kind of pleased that I got that one right, because I would have kicked myself if I got it wrong, because I actually enjoyed doing comedy. But I just found this, coming from this man who I think is, has given some part of it away, very, very funny. I thought his show was, this sitcom was dreadful, and it disappeared. It never saw the light of day after the first series. blah, blah, blah. But I've not turned down something that I thought was awful and it turned out to be the big blockbuster. But that's not because I'm clever, it's because I wasn't offered the one.
You've got to go where the kind of universe guides you and that sort of resonance that comes through. You actually just reminded me, Graham, that I was sent a script as well to pass on to you, which I've been most remiss in not actually doing this. It's all about vampires. I thought you'd love that to start off with, but... I'm just actually pulling it up on the system. Unlike yourself, Graham, I'm not going to actually mention names because that would just be completely unfair. But if I just come through this whole thing, any other sort of question you'd like to ask, Graham? Aaron, in fact?
I know you directed the New Statesman as well, didn't you, Graham?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, what was that like working with Rick Mayall and stuff?
I did two series. I was very nervous when I first started, to work with such a great master of comedy. It was absolutely brilliant, and I had a fantastic relationship with that cast.
Yeah.
We were meant to be together. It was just a brilliant experience for me. But I'm afraid it died eventually. I mean, the last series, it went to Europe, and he became a
MEP.
And it kind of, because English people, we don't know people in Brussels. We don't really understand the policy, other than the big mountains of food that seemed to have been wasted during the period I was working on it. But we didn't know really the names of many of the people involved. So really, all the people that Rick Mayall's character, Alan Bastard, was sending up and ripping off, nobody knew, so they didn't give a toss about it. So it kind of died, which is a shame, because, boy, we've got some good material now.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. That it was brilliant. Even during the sort of Tony Blair, Gordon Brown era, and now in the David Cameron, there'd be brilliant material there for that.
It'd be extraordinary. And the other thing is, I did Spitting Image. I did two series of Spitting Image in my life, and I'm so grateful that I actually had that opportunity, because to kick ass again, excuse me, my terrible language, to kick bottoms in politics with puppets like that, you can say anything almost.
Yeah.
Almost, not quite. You can still be libelled, but you can really... tell the truth and actually send people up and put them in their place beautifully. I really wish we had that opportunity now, but we don't seem to have it anymore.
I've just had a look at the treatment, Graham. It's going to be thankfully I didn't mention any names. It's going to be interesting, but I will say it's not too long to read. It's fairly straightforward. It is about vampires and fantasy vampires, etc. Anyway, I think they'd appreciate your input into just a little thought, so I shall send that off to you.
Okay, I'll be pleased to read that.
There we are, marvellous stuff.
Can I ask a question?
Of course.
It's of Aaron. I want to know one thing, because we were talking about you, Aaron, the other day.
We often do.
And you said that you'd left the restaurant. Everybody listening, I had... the most with Alexis, we went and visited Aaron's restaurant and had the most. This was about a year ago, wasn't it? And had the most wonderful meal, which Aaron cooked, etc. I now discover that you've moved on, gone to another restaurant or another hotel or wherever, and now you're telling me you've left there.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you the question: was this the Hunting, Shooting, and Fishing Lodge in the middle of a forest? A big, wonderful, grand.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
This was the question, because when we were talking about this, we had a feeling that Graham might have been there in times,
right,
etc. But I, you know, when you say, let's mention it, Solberg Hall,
yeah.
I thought, you could have said Timbuktu, really. Yeah. It'll be a location report, but so it was the same one then, Graham?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
It was I was filming Steel River Blues, and we had to, there was a reason for us having to stay in this hotel. Normally we'd stay a bit nearer to the location, but we had to stay in this hotel, probably because we were shooting nearby before Carrying On, or I can't remember why. But we stayed for two nights in this huge mansion of a place in the middle of a woods. Well, it had its own woodland.
Yeah, that's right.
Lake,
yeah,
or whatever. And it was a hunting, shooting and fishing kind of place. But the rooms were enormous, and the furniture was all grand Victorian.
It
was just the most sumptuous, fantastic... And then you open these big curtains and looked out on this fantastic landscape. Oh,
yeah,
wow.
The views are pretty amazing, really. Yeah.
And you're not there anymore?
No, so I'm free, and I'm just taking life easy at the minute.
He wasn't asked to leave, Graham. I just want to point that out and do this. It was one of those scenarios where you could probably say it's an aspect related to the financial situation.
Yeah, definitely.
Not
yeah.
enough bankers spending their money, to be actually honest, Graham. That's the key thing. You know, that's the way we are. And
well, they make
go.
Enough of it, don't they?
But don't they just deserve it? You know, we love them, really. Anyway, moving on.
No, we don't. Why do you say that? We don't love them at all. We can do without them.
It's very true. I think we should go. In fact, there's a banker probably on the phone now at this very moment, so I'll say, let's go for it. We'll just do for that. Joe.
Yes.
As you're up in about 45 minutes after we've interviewed Hannah and given her a fantastic... She's done very... Have you enjoyed your time on the show?
I have.
It's given you an insight in terms of what radio can be. She says silently, yes, nodding on that basis.
That shows everything.
Was it better than you expected? Worse?
It was.
Because I didn't... I mean, your father could have stayed, but obviously... But he seemed to be very keen to get rid of you, actually. Was that deliberate? It's just a case of, well, you know, do we find that we've suddenly adopted you? Is that sort of the routine?
He's always busy.
He's always busy, right? Yeah. Yeah, it was just because, you know, we've had parents come along with their children before and you know, the offer's always there. They can stay if they want, et cetera. And sometimes, but I mean, in this instance, I've got the feeling it was like, here he is, go, thank you very much, off, you know. It's amazing. Still. So, Joe, last two questions for Graham.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us today?
I have. I haven't found out much about you, Joe.
Well, he's got a pilot's licence, he can fly, yes, so he's got a driving licence, he can drive.
Hang on, you're 17 years old?
Mm. Yep.
And you can fly?
Mm. I can.
Mm. My goodness me, does that mean you're going to go into that kind of area? That's what your career is going to be?
He's going to be a sports journalist.
Maybe not sports journalist.
Well, a journalist, then.
A journalist, yeah.
He might be studying at the University of Lincoln. He might meet up with us in Siren. He might have his own show on Siren. He's got his own show on Southside. Would you like to hear the little jingle for it?
Yes.
Well, then, here it jolly well is. Well, you see, that should have worked immediately, sort of quickly. Now, here it jolly well is, he says.
The Quirky News Show on Southside Broadcasting with Joe Hudson and Evan Canwell.
Did you not hear that?
No.
Now, I know, I know why you couldn't hear it, because I didn't have the various other things travelled around. I'll try it again.
The Quirky News Show on Southside Broadcasting with Joe Hudson and Evan Canwell.
Did you get that?
Yes. Joe Hudson. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Yes, got you then. Well, I'm impressed by the pilot's licence. I think that's extraordinary. 17. Brilliant.
The only way is up, as you'd say if you were
flying. All your flying jokes.
I know. Pip, old chap. Oh, off we go. Got it, God. Chocks away. Do you know, I was actually watching 633 Squadron the other day, but that would set us off another hour, actually.
Oh, got the music in my head. That's brilliant. Great, how a piece of music just comes to your head from a title.
Ron Goodwin. You know, Ron Goodwin in his finest, really. And, of course, the whole 633 Squadron, a classic line by Harry Andrews, "You can't kill a squadron." Marvellous. None of them came back alive, but it was a fictional tale. Anyway, so it goes. Check that out, Hannah, you know, DVD to 633 Squadron. Very good. A certain time of the year, which is quite interesting, really. Have we asked both the questions, then?
No, only the first question.
I thought so. Well, what's the second one?
I'll just say yes.
Yeah. Graham Harper will return, indeed.
I will.
That's the thing. Success, happiness, and hurrah.